Well, good morning. My name is Jim Rapp. I'm a former captain with the Lansing Police Department, retiring in 1995. I was called and asked to participate in what I believe is a great honor and an opportunity to sit and talk with retired Chief of Police Richard Gleason. I'd like to thank our department historian, Patty Hayden, for all the work she does, and her able assistants, retired Captain Jim Hayden. And hopefully we can review a lot of history this morning by talking to the chief. I know that he is filled with it and certainly was a loved and revered chief of police and went through many changes. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning.
You had almost four decades of service to the city of Lansing, being hired in 1950 and retiring in 1987 after going through the ranks and many different changes as 3 3/4 decades. I thought today we would just try to review some of the highlights and let people really know who the chief was. Let's start out with Chief being back in the 1950s. Can you tell us about the type of training you received when you joined the department? And maybe a little bit how you know that it compares to what the officers receive today in their training. Oh,
there's no comparison today. I believe, if memory serves me right anyway, ours was the first time that a class was formulated and went to a formal training for 2 weeks. We were changing back then from a 48-hour week to a 40-hour week. It necessitated hiring 16 police officers to hit the streets. And they put us through 2 weeks of training, 6 days a week. From that time on, I think it was a number of years before any other training took place, and I don't think there was any training like that done before. We just hire on, put a person out on the street, and with somebody else, and I'd learned the job. That was about it.
What do you recall of those first years as you were a police officer, the type of assignments that you had?
Well, of course, back in those days, there was a lot of beat walking. We put out five cars and probably 7 or 8 beat walkers, call boxes, had to answer, no radios. Had radios in the car, and that was it. Just, I don't know, plodding around, I guess, checking doors. Once in a while, you'd make an arrest. Not like it is today.
1976, you were appointed chief. After, 26 years on the police department by that time?
About 10, yes.
Yeah. You've gone through every one of the positions. I think you were promoted from assistant chief.
Right.
And when you were appointed the chief, do you recall the circumstances politically, economically, and for you personally at the time?
Well, as I look back on it now, actually I had an ideal situation. I had been assistant chief now for several years under O'Toole, and we had a good budget. We were running the helicopter. We had quite a few people. I don't remember the numbers now, but everything seemed to be running pretty smooth back at that particular time. We had a different charter that we were working under. You answered to the board before you answered to any political entity, and things ran pretty smooth.
That didn't last long, that charter, as I understand it.
No, that was a tragic situation there. A charter commission was formed, and I guess people voted down a couple of times, and they decided to try one more time and wrote up this thing, and we had a bunch of conditions that we had discussed with the Charter Commission to more or less shield policing from politics. I think that was the foremost thing. Only to find out that they, in later years, that they had dropped all of those conditions that they had originally agreed to and went with the old charter that, went with the one they were rewriting that we didn't care for, which put the chief directly under the mayor, which they say a contract, but in there it says you can fire him for any reason at all. And you say to yourself, that's not what we originally wanted. But I didn't realize that until several years later, that it was too late then to do anything about it. I wished I had have known, but getting naive, I guess, with politicians was a mistake.
And that changed the process that from answering directly to the Board of Police Commissioners, then that put you under the political regime of answering directly to the mayor and
yeah, this changed under Mayor Graves. He had no desire to change anything under that particular setup. We had a strong board. Russ Lawler was the chairman of the board, and he was pretty determined on who was going to run things. And nobody bothered with him, clear up through Terry McCain when he was elected. And it was the first time they started to move towards getting contracts for department heads. They were supposed to answer to the mayor. We engineered a agreement. A former judge, Reisig, was asked, and he formulated a contract for the department heads that were only good for the existing department heads. It wouldn't be carried on to put into writing and a contractual agreement that would protect us until we left. But after that, it was, I guess, open field. America could do anything. This last appointment, he just called the board and told them who was going to be chief. That's not the way it should be. But that's my opinion.
After being appointed chief, do you recall what your main goals were? What did you want to see changed or done differently at that time back in, what were you, 76?
Well, I can't say as I really wanted to change too much of anything. Just wanted to progress through computers in the area, well, number of areas that we finally opened up that we got involved with, but it was nothing that I really wanted to change or had idea of changing as soon as I got into office. No, as I said, I thought O'Toole done a fine job and blessed me with a very good department at the time. I didn't see any necessity to change a whole lot, just adjust things as we went along. As need arose, and change it.
As I recall, I believe you were one of the first chiefs appointed that had a master's degree, had gone back and completed their formal education.
Yes, I was very fortunate with that one. With the help of the government and so forth, managed to go through all the steps to get a master's degree.
At some point in your career, you were given the nickname Grump. How did that come about? What's behind the story?
That was a blessing of Lieutenant Paul Beach, because I was continually complaining about one department or another if they didn't do the job completely, you know, do the job to support patrol in a satisfactory manner, I was squawking about it. And it was continual. And Paul Beach, just one day, he just was sitting there and I was raping about something and he goes, brump, brump, brump. And somebody overheard that, and from then on, that was the name.
I can recall as a young troop out there driving the roads and drove my car into a precarious position over the top of a sidewalk that had just been excavated and brand new cement. And had to call the command officer, and you showed up and looked at me and said, "That'll never happen again, will it?" That was all that was necessary. During your tenure, you initiated the first canine, one of the first community policing officers. The internal affairs office of the police department to look at standards better and better investigations for police officers. What was the greatest accomplishment during your tenure, do you believe?
To take credit for an accomplishment, one has to look back at what all was involved. I can remember going into 911. The initial meeting was with the future mayor of McCain, who was then chairman of the council public safety committee. As we were leaving a meeting up there, I said to him that I think it's time for Lansing to start looking into 911. And he said, "I think you're right." Now, when you say the accomplishment I made, no, it was turned over to other people who made numerous meetings to ever get this thing implemented and finally put out. Just people do not realize how many jurisdictions involved in like Ingham County. We go over into Eaton County to get our phone system was out south to Holt, and a number of places like that. And it just took a lot of effort by people to get this all put together, meetings after meetings, to get it done. Now you say, what did I implement? Yeah, I started the ball. I never finished it. This was done by other people. Spent a lot of time doing it. But that's one of them. I remember building the tower for the radio. We needed a new tower, so we a lot of engineering around to get it done down on South Washington at Holmes. A lot of squawking about some people there. The lightning would hit it every once in a while and shake up people down there. But that was one thing, because we was going to put a tower up where the existing was at North Grosbeck Golf Course, but found out the guy wires would be running over onto private property. And I didn't want it. I wanted a freestanding tower someplace, and that was city-owned property down there at that fire station, or a township fire station. So we had it built down there. That was one of them. What else? Kelly, you're going back now 30 years trying to figure out some of these things that we try to implement.
Well, you implemented the dog program, the canine program.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing. I wasn't in favor of dogs. I was always fearful of the dog attacking the wrong people, especially children. And I'd have to say that the experiences I had with state police dogs that they brought on the scene, where they were, as far as I was concerned, far too vicious for the public to be using. And then I became aware of the program at the college, MSU, under Dick Burnett, the chief at the time, had started a dog program, which was a lot more, I don't know, compatible with the public. And I looked into that one and thought, if they wanted a dog program at MSU with all the students that they had to deal with, then that may be a way, a safe way of going into a dog program. And I was glad I did it. It worked out real well. They could train dogs to be a lot more compatible with the public.
There was also, during that time period, Chief, and I know that you had a very strong relationship with Michigan State University School of Criminal Justice during your tenure. We had the university and the department on several issues, studying things and so forth, and you implemented one of the first community policing officers, a change in police procedure from being in a car and locked behind the wheel of a car and put them out into the community.
Well, I'd watched that program develop up in Flint, and I had kind of gotten to the impression that we would not be able to do the public safety work as well just operating out of a car as possibly it could be done. If they had officers that could go out and meet with the people and be available to the people on a constant basis.
Well, it was a continuous issue, that higher demand for resources. We had talked earlier that in the 50s and so forth, pretty much neighborhood took care of their problems, very few calls to the police, and through the 60s and 70s and civil unrest and war protests and so forth. Then we had the advent of crack cocaine, which was a major issue in the city, and all of a sudden the demand for services became higher. How did you deal with that with your last few budgets in terms of convincing the city to give you more when you couldn't do more with, you know, when they were also asking you to do more with less?
I don't know. We'd rob Peter to pay Paul, I guess. We'd take from here and put over there, and just wherever the squeakiest wheel would go is kind of where we would put people. I don't know how we ever got by, although we got by with a lot more than they're getting by with today, and I'm not so sure whether they're getting by well or not. I have no way of analyzing that anymore. But we seem to be, we held things together. How, I don't know. Just trying to be in the right place at the right time, I guess.
That's for sure. Chief, what was the toughest decision you ever had to make as chief? Do you recall?
Toughest decision? Retire, I guess.
Giving it up?
Yeah. That didn't come easy. It was more my wife's idea than mine, and I guess I went along with it. You know, the only way to live for 63 years with the same woman is to say yes, dear.
Yes, sir. And she was a beautiful lady. What were the biggest challenges that you recall as the chief?
God.
Family? Home? Work?
I never had any problem with family, home. I think the challenges were more of a disappointment type things. Trying to get into a police building was one major one that you learn real quick that who your friends are in politics, who supports who, that kind of, after all the work we've done on it, it's kind of unique. That's where the state police built their headquarters. That's where we had plans to put a police station. Would have been all paid for today. But council messed that one up pretty good. I always laugh, think back, when we could have had the Catholic Central High School for a police station. Went through court actions and so forth and so on. Everything was cleared now to buy it. diocese was ready to sell. We had one councilman went over there and screwed it up, and we lost it. And I never let him forget it. But that's the biggest challenge, is trying to get out of where we were at, trying to get some facility that was more suitable. We were getting pretty crowded down there where we were, but things don't work out sometimes the way you want them to.
What advice would you give to a newly appointed chief?
You know, I looked at, they're running a chief school now for the Michigan Chiefs Association. And I don't know. Maybe I ought to go back to that school and see what advice would be appropriate. I know that consolidation is coming on strong. And I think the new chiefs are going to have to be aware of that and not necessarily oppose it, but to make sure that it's done right. Who's going to run the departments? You know, where is the protection going to go? I'd be very concerned about consolidation with Ingham County. Ingham Sheriff's Department was cut way back on personnel. If this would become a consolidated department, would they be pulling the people out of the city of Lansing to patrol the county? Things of that nature. They did that out in Las Vegas. I guess eventually they got it straightened out, but that was a big concern out there. It would be one of mine. So I need new chiefs coming on. I'll have to keep that in the background because the political field is moving in that direction. They can't, under the situations I got today, they can't oppose it. If they were to oppose it, they'd be replaced. But I think they've got to be very careful about who does what to who.
I think you're absolutely correct about the consolidation, seeing big movements. What was the biggest mistake you ever made as a chief of police?
Well, I think the biggest one was not challenging that charter change. Another one was, give that one a lot of thought, was not appointing Yal Yalk assistant chief when Tucker left. I was very concerned about Al's health at the time. Would he be able to, you know, take that additional pressure? I think now, when I look back on it, he probably would have. He was an outstanding budget person, knowledge of the department, knowledge of the law, the whole works. And he would have been my first choice, but I was very concerned about his health and didn't appoint him, and I've wondered about it ever since. Mistake. I get it, whether you call it a mistake or not, I don't know.
Chief, we've all had them. How about your most embarrassing moment as chief?
I wish you'd tell me. I don't recall any. You start thinking about that, and I thought, what was I doing? Where was I and what was I doing? I can't recall being embarrassed about anything. Stick my foot in my mouth once in a while, but I didn't necessarily classify that as an embarrassment. But I don't remember. Maybe you can remind me. You were pretty close in the intelligence unit. Do you remember any embarrassing moments?
I think that you classified it well, that every now and then we might say something to somebody that we had to fix later, but primarily, if you said something, you meant it.
Well, meaning it or not, it would have cost you later on.
That's true. That's true. Chief, you touched on it just briefly there. In terms of consolidation being one issue, is what else? Any other issues that you think police departments will have to do in the future to provide service to communities?
Well, I don't know. It's going to be a constant battle now with budget types of things because the money's just not there at the moment. We've lost considerably on like city income tax with the factories closing down the way they did and so forth. I don't frankly know how they're getting by with the budget today. I don't recall, the chief did tell me how many people they were shorted down from what I was when I left. But it's seemingly the call situation is going up and the resources to answer them is going down. And I think the public is going to have to decide pretty soon which way do you want to go with this thing, because you can't be safe on the streets to walk down them. They've had shootings downtown that we never had. In the 37 years I was on the department, we never had anything like that going on a consistent basis. Be a shooting once in a while, but not downtown consistently the way it's been. And you say to yourself, somewhere there's got to be a decision made. Maybe there won't be. It's a lot worse off now than I've ever seen it. And I don't know where they're going to go from here. And it's getting worse as our political people get straightened out one of these days and figure out what are they supposed to be doing with whatever they're getting in.
You talked earlier about, and we had discussions regarding, there's a liberty issue involved here too. I mean, the use of cameras and, different types of electronic technology to assist in policing. What do you think?
Well, that's one of the regrets I had. I didn't take into computers to start with. All I saw was huge machines that you fed a lot of information into, and maybe you'd get it back and maybe you wouldn't, and so forth. But the technology today is moving so fast. I don't know. If you take something, you get some equipment today, it's obsolete tomorrow. It's going so fast. I know. I think officers should be well aware that everybody's got a camera today. Quit messing around out there in the field and beating up somebody and getting on pictures taken, because it's going to happen. I think the military just found that out the hard way. I don't understand it. They're intelligent people. Why would they be doing something when you know darn good and well somebody's got a camera out there taking a picture of it? But I think cameras and then police cars taking pictures of people that are trying to apprehend and so forth is a great idea. But don't ask me about technology. I'm back in the dark ages. I'm still limping along here, trying to two-fingered on a computer.
Well, I think you got the job done. It was just changes in the history. Anything else you'd like to add to this interview, Chief? What don't we know about you?
I just wish the charter hadn't changed. I think the chief should have a little bit more backing than he gets. He should be able to depend on. Today, that's out of the question until they change the charter again. Yeah. But beyond that, good luck, because it's moving faster than I can handle. And I've been gone 25 years, Jim. It's a lot of changes.
There certainly has been. Chief, it's been an honor to talk with you today and relive the past some, and I've truly enjoyed it. It's great to see your health is good, and life is treating you well. You deserve it.
Yeah, with the help of 4 doctors and 10 prescriptions, I can still get here and there pretty good.
Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks.